Amen, amen. Great to be with you. It's always fun to be in this crowd. We got some really good friends here. Every time I come, though, I meet a whole bunch of people I've never seen before. So wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We got a couple that have come from the leadership at Trinity with us. I'm not sure where they are. Brad and Cindy, can you stand up and wave you on right at the very back there? Maybe you have a chance to say hi to them afterwards. We go a long way back, as Andy was saying, with Mike and Deb, and I didn't actually meet Mike in South Africa. I was at a meeting, and Mike was leading that meeting, and so when we met here, I thought, hey, I know that guy, and we've really had a lot of fun. Right from when there was just a few families in this church, we've had input into this body, and just love that couple. It's great to be here again with you today. I'm going to speak into elders. I think we put these people in as elders. We lay hands on them. And I thought it'd be good to just do a little teaching on this. I think a lot of people are new here. A lot of people have been here before. We kind of lose sight of what God's Word says. We want to build according to His Word, right? Right, yeah. The Bible says we need to build to a plumb line. There's a plumb line of God's Word. And it doesn't just affect us personally. But that plumb line is there for how we do church. And we want to build our own personal lives on the rock of His Word. And we want to build our churches on the rock of His Word. So if you can turn to Titus 1:5, they're going to put it up on the screen for you, I hope. Where are we? Yeah, there you go. Just the need for elders. We see that in Scripture. And I'm just going to highlight it with one verse, just a kind of overview of this whole thing. But we're starting off in Titus 1:5. It says, the reason I left you in Crete, this is Paul speaking to Titus, was that you might straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Just a little throw it in while we're here. I just want to point out that there is this team, an apostolic, translocal, the Bible doesn't give it any word. We call it fivefold. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. And they're not meant to be roaming around doing their own thing. They're meant to come together and work together as a team. And so Paul has this team, and he has a guy named Titus on the team. And Paul says, Titus, go down. I want you to go. He's directing him to go do something. And I think sometimes we miss out on this kind of stuff that we see in the Word. It's good to highlight it again. That a team is that we want to relate to as a church is made up of apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists working together. There is a guy named Tyron that heads that team up, and it's just a privilege to be on that team and work together with him. And those we know are there as a team. We're there as a team to encourage and strengthen churches and help them build on solid foundations. So we see a model in Scripture. And I just want to point out here that people are coming to Christ. As we know, in Acts, we see the church is exploding, people coming together, and God is moving, people are getting saved, the power of the Holy Spirit's being demonstrated. And Paul is saying, listen, there's something missing there in that church in Crete. By the way, you know, it's not just good to have a whole club and come together. Somebody needs to lead this. The somebody that is called to lead the church are elders. So Titus, go down, set things in order. There's something missing there. I want you to put elders in. And that's why we do what we do. We really believe that God has called elders to lead the church. Elders, plural. Just want you to notice that. God works in teams. It's deacons, it's elders, and it's a team. Plural. So we're always asking as leaders of a church, I mean, the church, to grow, a church needs good, strong leadership. And so I think as a team that are leading this church and a team that has the opportunity to minister in here, we're just always looking around, you know, going, okay, God, who's next? You know, who do you want to bring on to the deacon team? Who do you want to bring on as elders? And we want to release them because God just works through that, blesses, builds a strong church. Don't just want a large church, we want a strong church. And a strong church is built on a solid foundation. And everybody said amen. I'm going to go quickly through this. The calling of elders, I mean, what are they? It tells us in Acts 20, verse 17, from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. He's still talking to the elders in verse 28. We're going to skip over all that. He had some good things to say. He knew he was on his way to Rome, and he would never see the leaders of the church of Ephesus again. And so he's got some stuff to impart to them. But it's interesting, just in what he has to say, we kind of can draw out what an elder is. Just in the names. It says in verse 28, keep watch, speaking to the elders, over yourselves and all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church that God has bought with his own blood. Keep watch over yourself. Good to just point that out. I mean, all of us are going to have to give an account for our lives one day before the Lord. But Paul says here, listen, not only do you have to give an account for yourself, but you've got to give count for the flock. So watch over that flock. And Hebrews 13, verse 7 saying, says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. We're all going to give an account for our own lives one day, what we've done with these talents that God has given. Not everybody has the same talents, the same opportunities, the same gifting, but we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not to be judged whether we're saved or not. Fortunately, the blood of Jesus covers us, but what have we done with our lives? We squandered away this gift, or are we using this gift for the extension of his kingdom? But just a kind of sobering thing this morning when we put elders in, just to remind us that elders are not just going to give an account for their own life. Paul says, watch over your own life. But elders are going to have to give an account for you. That's a huge thing. I mean, that's a sobering thing. You know, it's not a light thing when you come in as an elder. And to recognize that there is somebody watching over us and having to give an account for us. And it says here to submit to them. I think it's just a good reminder that there is this authority, and this authority needs to be honored and submitted to in the local church. But that's not dictating, and that's not controlling you, you know. I think it's just good to clarify when we talk about this authority that we have as elders. You personally are responsible for your own life. Nobody can come along and tell you, you must do this. You and your family, you're responsible for the operation, the direction, the functioning, the going forward of this church. There are those called elders who are responsible for that and to give leadership to that, and we need to honor that. But having said all of that, having been an elder for many years, I think if in the teaching and the preaching that elders bring in, recognizing that they're going to have to give an account for you, it would be very frustrating for them. In fact, Paul says that in Hebrews 13. Make their job a joy. You will make our job a joy if when we try and speak into your life, you listen to what we have to say. Amen? All the elders said amen. Come on. Both from the pulpit and personally, you need to hear what elders are saying. So here we see, I mean, the reason we picked this out is there's three names for elders in Acts 20, and it kind of tells us what this animal, I'm sorry about calling elders animals, this thing called elders helps us see what they are. Again, from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. I have not hesitated to proclaim to you, he says in verse 27, the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourself and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. So we got these three names, elders, overseers, shepherds. Kind of reveals the call in all that, as we'll see. First one is elder, and that's what we call them, elders. And it comes from the word presbyteros, a Greek word, presbyteros, and presbyteros means what you think of as an elder, an older person, you know. There are a few of us oldering here. You can relate to what I'm saying. But we're not getting old, we're just oldering. But it is that description of it, but at the same time, I want to say that it's not meaning that you young people can't be elders. Otherwise, Timothy would have been in trouble, you know. Timothy, they reckon historically, is 16, 17 years old when Paul brought him on his team. So we're not talking about age in the sense of, gee, I remember when I first got saved and came into the church I ended up leading, I said, boy, all the elders are old guys, you know. They were in their 40s and 50s. I mean, if you're in your early 20s, everybody looks old over 40. You know? It's kind of bumped up a little bit. I think 80 and 90-year-olds are starting to get old. You know? But anyways, I mean, even Mary, the mother of Jesus, they think may have been 13, you know, 13, 14. She ushers in the King of Glory into the earth. And then historically, we have all of these young people. We could go on and on. I think the guy that started the Welsh Revival, Evan Roberts, he was 13 when he began to pray for revival in Wales. 13. I think we have to be careful that we don't, too young, have to be older. But I think what this is talking about is stature, is somebody that can be respected, you know. And that's what we're looking for in elders. The second word that we have there is episcopus. That's where the Episcopalians got their name. They wanted to move away from the bishops and archbishop leadership structure of the Anglican Church. That's how the Episcopalian Church got started. But it's quite a strong word. It's a military term in Greek, and it means ruler, one who envisions, mobilized for a purpose, an army. That's what you'll get from your lexicon. So they have this spiritual oversight of the church and giving leadership and direction, and that is the whole area of authority. So we got stature. That's why in 1 Timothy 3:2, Paul says they need to be above reproach, has to be somebody that can be respected. And then we have the area of authority when we look at episcopus. And then we have the whole spiritual ministry that they're called to when we look at shepherd. Be a shepherd, Paul says to the elders of the church of Ephesus. And that's the word poimen. It means shepherd, and it's everything you can think of in a natural shepherd, but in the spirit instead. It talks about care, protection, feeding, reproof, healing. And God says we all need that. We all need those elders that God has appointed in the church speaking into our life. Doesn't matter what ministry you have. I go to Mark regularly and said, just by the way, you are my pastor, you know, speak into my life. There's nobody doesn't need the pastors of a church. We want to see everybody hooked into a church that's ministering out and working with this team. So that's poimen. So then we got those three terms. Just talk about what an elder is. And I want to move on to that to talk about some things that we look for in elders when we want to bring people on as elders. And 2 Samuel 23, verse 2 to 5. I mean, I could have picked a lot of scriptures, but I really like this one. It's just a favorite of mine. So I'm up preaching. I get to use my favorite scripture. But it really does speak here, and I like the imagery in it. 2 Samuel 23, 2. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. The God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said to me, when one rules over men in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God, he is like the light of morning at sunrise on a cloudless morning, like the brightness after rain that brings the grass from the earth. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I just love it. We've been enjoying some of that. We're waiting for the rain part of it, but we've been enjoying the sun part of it. Is not my house right with God, David said? Has he not made with me an everlasting covenant, arranged and secured in every part? Will he not bring to fruition my salvation and grant my every desire? So let me just look at this. There's four areas we look for when we're talking about, is this somebody we called to be an elder? Can we bring them on at this time? And that's calling, character, charisma, and commitment. The first one is calling. In 2 Samuel 23, 2, the Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. This is David talking. His word was on my tongue. The God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said to me. But David is leading God's people, but he's leading being led by the Lord. Oh, a good qualification to be an elder is somebody who's hearing from God, getting God's direction, moving in step with him. And God said he was man to lead Israel. But it's interesting that he was convinced of that. David knew that God had called him. And I really encourage those that come on as elders, be really sure that God is saying, you're called, and this is the time. Because I know from years and years of experience that the storms are going to come in your leading. And there's nothing wrong. I mean, just because you're in the middle of God's will doesn't mean storms aren't going to come, right? That happened to the disciples a few times. But storms can come in the center of God's will, and storms can come when you're out of God's will. I'd rather have this one myself, you know. Because when you know that God has called you there, you just put your head down and keep going no matter what comes your way, because you know that God wants you to do that. Even when David was passed over, he was passed over by his father. Remember, Samuel says to Jesse, get all your sons together for a feast. I want to come and pray for them. And when he gets there, he goes down looking for who the leader was. And God had said the leader's one of these sons. So he goes through the whole group. Had a bunch of guys that really look good. They should, surely, God's anointed stands before me. God said, nope, 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 nope. You know the story. And then finally, Samuel goes to Jesse and says, don't you have any other sons? He said, no, we don't. Oh, yeah, there's a kid out in the grass looking after some sheep, you know. Bring him in here. He's the one, you know. He's passed over by his own father, passed over by his brothers. This is a test of leadership, by the way, being passed over. You remember when Goliath is railing against Israel, David goes up to bring some food to his brothers, and his brothers just deride him and put him down, you know. He said, what are you doing here, you know? What are you talking so arrogantly? Get home and look after those few sheep, you know. Just kind of rub it in, you know. Not just look after the sheep, but look after those few sheep. You know? So he's passed by his brothers, and of course he's passed by his leader. Saul knows that he's called to lead, by the way, but Saul's out to kill him, you know. He's not going to release him. And David is not going to take that leadership before God gives it to him. And his leaders around him are saying, hey, God's put him into your hands. Kill him, you know. David said, I won't touch God's anointed. I'm just going to wait. God's work at work. He's in control. He's all powerful. I don't have to, you know, look at me, you know, try and position myself for leadership. I'm just going to wait until God releases me into that. And that's what happens with David, and the rest is history. So there's one of the parts of it is the person needs to know they're called. We as leaders need to know they're called, and we need to know this is the time to release them. Second area is character, of course. When one rules over men in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God. So Scripture in both 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus, this whole list of character issues that you need to look for before. He said, Titus, go down, set an order, put some elders, you're missing something there. But by the way, this is what has to be. And it's interesting, if you look through Titus and 1 Timothy, the number of times it says, they must be. You got to jump over that. You know? I'm not trying to say that anybody be an elder is absolutely perfect. We're all a work in progress, aren't we? Amen. But there has to be a certain degree of character that people can look up to these people and follow them. You know? So it's not, yeah, think about this, you know. They probably shouldn't be drunkards, you know. I mean, if it works for you, you know. No, he said they must, you know, they must. You know? Otherwise, you're just going to bring to disrepute the whole call. We need our elders and our church standing on a solid foundation. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. It's not optional extras. If we're going to put people in place and say, hey, follow these guys, they're going to lead you. By the way, those character qualifications aren't just for elders. They're for all of us. God's trying to work all of that into our lives, you know. Only by his grace, by his power, but us in cooperation with them, that these things can be worked into our life. But Paul is saying if they're called to lead the people and if they're called to be looked up to as somebody to follow, they must have these things in place. Amen. Oh, it's getting quiet in here now. Fourth one is commitment. Is not my house right? Well, you're going to have to work with me on this one. It's kind of a stretch. Sorry, brother. But it's there. It's there. The point is there. It's just kind of, the other ones are a little more obvious. Now, I think I better go back to charisma again. I jumped the gun here. He's like the light of morning. This is why I like this. He's like the light of morning at sunrise on a cloudless morning, like the brightness after rain that brings the grass from the earth. But you got the right man in the right place of leadership, it's a refreshing is released, you know, into the body. There's, I mean, it's one thing to have the call, it's one thing to have the character, but if there's no anointing to do the job, hello, maybe you need to wait a little bit until it catches up, you know. But if there is the right person in the right time, there's something released. There's a refreshing. I mean, these couples we're going to sit in this morning, when you get around them, you just think, touching heaven, hello, you know. Not that they have lightning bolts coming out of their fingertips, but you know what I mean? There's just, you know what I mean. Like the brightness after rain that brings the grass from the earth. I just like getting around elders who are really called. So a release of heaven. So then let's move on to the fourth one, the commitment. And just from this, the fact that David is hearing from God, and I think as leaders, we're called to hear from God. We're called to lead God's people. We're building covenant communities. David is like stepping back. This is at the end of his life, the scripture here. Like David stepping back and going, God, you know, I poured my life on my... David's whole life was dedicated to lead Israel. He had a whole season that God prepared him and was working things into him to bring him into that leadership. And I appreciate David had, you know, some wealth and things, but it cost him something. It cost him his whole life. Whole life dedicated to it. So I think in bringing people into leadership, one of the things we're looking for, besides character, calling, charisma, is have they got the time to do this job, you know? And I mean, we need a lot of leaders out there in the marketplace. The majority of the people, there's only somebody who can be elders, you know. But the majority of people are called to lead out there. And that's good. I mean, if that's what God's called you to do, you know. But sometimes there are people that you really feel, this is an elder for this time, but they just got hobbies, you know. Yeah, some people make me, wears me out just hearing what they got on the go. If you're going to come on as an elder, you're going to have to give something up. That's the bottom line. And God has the power to bless, I want to tell you. He really does. Have I got time to tell you a story? You know how I like telling stories. I was for years leading Trinity, and I like all things military, especially Navy. My dad was in the North Atlantic during the Second World War, and I've got a lot of uncles and grandpas and things that have all been involved. So it's in my blood. I just like military stuff. So the Americans were bringing up their largest aircraft carrier, and they were going to park it in the bay in Victoria, and you could go and have a tour on that. How many know that's a good deal if you're me, you know? I mean, I just thought, hello, this is like a kid with a candy shop, you know. Here, all this is yours. You know? And so the only problem was 3 years in a row, it landed on the very day that I was going to do a leadership seminar with the church. You know, I mean, what are the chances? You go, hello, Lord, maybe you don't want me on that ship, you know. I had a friend who worked with the military, and they were able to get me passes. 3 years in a row, I wasn't able to use them. Because you can't say to your leaders, you know, set things aside and come out, your potential leaders, and, you know, make the sacrifice when you see something and you're off to go. You know, you get the picture. So the third year, I'm going, God, this is just not right, you know. I wake up on Monday. Monday's my day off. Jackie and I are lying in bed having coffee, reading the newspaper. And here this thing in the newspaper said they had, I thought they were going on Sunday. But it said, no, they're here. But they're only just having special people that they're letting on board. It's not open to the public. I thought, come on, God. I got these two tickets in my head, you know. You just get cheeky when you know God, don't you? I mean, he can do these things. So I said, make a way, Lord, for us to get on there. This is 3 years in a row. Look at the sacrifice that your servant has made, Lord God. He's not impressed with that at all, by the way. So anyways, I phone up, and that guy put me onto another guy who put me onto another guy who put me on another guy. And suddenly I'm talking to this guy with an American voice. And the guy said, who are you? And I told him, I just somebody who lives in Victoria. I told him the story how I missed getting on the boat. And he said, this is a closed line that nobody's allowed into, by the way, you know. I mean, nobody in the ship can even get this line, you know. He said, if you got through to me, he said, you should be on this boat. He said, get yourself down right here. Jackie and I are putting our clothes on as we're running out of the door, you know. And not only that, the story gets better because there was just Jackie and I instead of a whole crew that he's, you know, a whole group of people. We had this one guy, undivided attention. He took us everywhere in the ship. I got to sit in the captain's seat, you know. Anyways, God doesn't owe me anything. That's all I can say. Sure, you give some things up. But God is able to multiply back to you, multiply back to you, bless you in so many different ways, and bless your family. And there's a lot of sacrifice involved in leading a church. But God has ways. Look for ways for God to do that. I mean, pray for ways to God to do that. God's not out to beat us up and destroy us. God's there. And it ends with this, with that very thought. Will he not bring to fruition my salvation and grant me my every desire? That's God's promise. God's promise is that he's there, he's with us, he's for us, and you'll never do anything that he's called you to without his anointing and his grace and his love working through you. But hey, his love and his grace and his power is working through us. So as you step into this ministry, you just find the smile of heaven. When you're right where God wants you, you just get released, and God works in us. Let me finish off with just this whole thing of appointing elders, why we do what we're going to do this morning in Acts 14:23. It says, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. But Paul and Barnabas, part of an apostolic team, appointed elders for them, and that's why it's our practice to do that. It says in Acts 13, verse 3, after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and released them to the ministry that God had called them to. So we're going to lay hands on. We believe when we lay hands on people, there's an impartation. It's interesting when you look at Hebrews 6, isn't it? Verse 1, where it talks about these basic doctrines that are critical that we understand if we're going to grow up. It talks repentance from dead works. Talks about baptisms. What else does it talk about? What's the third one? You know, there are things that we all accept. Yeah, those are the basics. But then it comes to laying on of hands. And you know, what's that doing in there? So actually, that first church took a lot more seriously the whole area of laying on hands because they recognized there's an impartation when you lay hands. They saw Jesus doing that. You know, you want to release the gifts. You want to release healing. There's something imparted when we put our hands on people. And we certainly see it in Scripture when it comes to releasing people into ministry. So these are two great couples, and we get to do this today. We've fasted and we've prayed, and it seems like God has said this is the time, these are the people. And I just want to confirm that this morning, although I seem to keep laying hands on my buddy over here. He didn't take the first time. I gotta come back again. Oh, no, I couldn't resist that. There are seasons in our lives, you know. There are demands upon our lives. There's different seasons on our lives. But it's a season for them to come back in. We're happy about that. So we're going to expect an impartation, commit them to the Lord, and encourage them greatly. Why don't we do that right now? Amen. Pastor. I mean, lead elder.
Well, thank you so much, Ivor. Yeah, Ivor's going to lead this next part, but let's welcome up these two amazing new couples, and they can just introduce themselves, Lee and Janine Weber. And if you want to bring the kids, you can. That's awesome. Let's just give these guys a round of applause. And Mark and Dina, why don't you come up here? And then that's awesome. I just want to say Mark and Dina have been in the church longer than myself and Camilla. Mark was one of the first leaders that I met with at Oceanside. And it was because of meeting with him and a few of the other people on the eldership team that I knew that this was a family that I could bring my family into. Wow. Because this was a man who seemed to be really close with God, and that if he said something, I would do my best to listen to it. And it was because of you guys, it was because of Paul and Mike and others that we came to this church. And it is good elders that bring that through, that actually people come here into this church because they see the leadership, and they feel safe with those leaders. God often, like we've heard, compares it to leading a flock of sheep. Sheep don't come without leaders who they're comfortable with. And I just thank you guys for the peace that you bring to the sheep. You might not say it yourselves, but you have amazing pastoral hearts. Yeah. You guys are often the go-to people in lots of different areas. And just thank you. It was a privilege. Mark and Dina have served on different eldership teams. They've actually served on an eldership team at this church before. And again, seasons come and go with eldering. We don't elder for life. It's not like a king-making moment where you're then king for life or anything like that. It's for seasons. And we love that in this season that these guys have said yes again. They know the cost. They know what it means to be elders, and they've said yes. These guys have no idea, on the other hand, and they don't know what they're getting themselves into. But Lee and Janine, there's moments when you meet people who come into the church, and we knew from early days that you would be significant in this house. If you have had the pleasure of meeting these guys or being a part of something that they've led, you will know that as well. How they bring people through. This guy is constantly on the phone with me in the week, letting me know about situations and asking how to bring people further into God's kingdom. And I just thank you for your diligent pastoral hearts. When you arrived here from South Africa a few years ago, there's something that God has placed you, and you even knew the call. You even picked Nanaimo, I think, because of you knew something was going to take place at this church. Neither of these two families have ever asked for a leadership position. They've never knocked on a door and said, I need to be the one to preach, I need to do that. All that they have done is laid their lives down to serve the people, and we know that's how Jesus teaches us to lead, that actually when we get into a position of leadership, it's to serve the people with whom he loves. And I know you guys said a few things a couple weeks ago, but if we could just do that again, just to introduce yourselves, and and then we'll go from there. But Lee.
Well, my name is Lee, and this is my wife, Janine. And this is my son, Israel. He's 9, and this is my daughter, Skylar, with an A at the end. That's just turned 12. And we really felt that that God put Nanaimo on the map for us, and it's something that started in the early parts of 2018, and something that we started praying into. And as I mentioned before, we thought we were going to come to Vancouver on the mainland, and we spent all our time on our reconnaissance mission there, and then popped over to the island for 2 nights, 1 night in Victoria. Sorry, Ivor, we missed that one. And then we came up to Nanaimo. Mike drove all the way down to Victoria to pick us up. And we spent 2 days, 1 night with Mike and Debbie, and met a couple of you guys in the church. And when we climbed back on the plane, we didn't even discuss it. We just felt like this is the community. This is where we need to come. And we started our plans and praying. It took us a while to get here, thanks to COVID and other paperwork issues. But after 3 tries, we made it in, and we are here for the long haul, and really feel that God has placed us for a reason, and that is to serve, and it's an honor for us. It's a privilege for us. We know the cost. We've counted it over the years, and I'm sure there's a lot that's still going to scare us, but we are game. We are ready for it. Do you want to say?
Yeah, we're Mark and Dina. If we haven't met you, I'm sorry we don't have any beautiful children to show off. Our babies are in their late 20s and 30s, so they're on their own. We've got some grandkids, but somebody a long time ago talked about calling. People talk about calling in your life, and all of us have a calling. It's not just elders. I believe everyone has a calling, and people have asked me over the years, you know, what is calling? And I think the best definition I have of calling is that which keeps calling you. And through all the years in our life, eldership has just continued to call us. Sometimes we wish it wouldn't. But it's God's grace, and it's just an honor to be able to come back into eldership after a number of years off in this church and to serve God, to serve Jesus, and to walk with you in that. So thank you for your graciousness. I think this is the third time we've been set in as elders at Oceanside. So I think you'd learn your lesson, but thank you, Lord.
Awesome. Awesome. Since we're doing this and we know we've got a lot of new people, we're just going to introduce the other elders as well. So Becca and Wes, why don't you come up here as well? And we want to be with these guys as they come on. This is Wes and Becca, your elders. If you guys want to and who else? We've got Paul and Katie. Are you around? These are the longest serving elders at Oceanside. They look the most tired as well. No, you don't. You look great. You look great. No, you don't look tired, Katie. Paul looks tired. He just got back from 2 weeks hunting. And we got the amazing Nathan and Megan come up here as well. That's awesome. Yeah. So church, this once we're done praying here, this is your eldership team. This is my wife, Camilla. She's just feeding our little baby, Naomi, off to the side. But this is your eldership team. This is who you can look to for pastoral advice, for anything. I'm the only person who gets to work for the church and gets a paycheck for this. And all these people do this out of the kindness of their hearts. And let me tell you, it takes up enormous parts of their lives. And they care for you. They love you. They want to see God's will come into your life. And I just want to thank all of them for what they have done over the differing years, not only to my life, but to all of yours as well. And then there's another couple we'd love to have up, but also Mike and Debs. They founded the church. Mike, do you want to come up? But just as we, I think Debs might be up in kids ministry or something, but Mike and Debs founded this church in 1997. They are the spiritual grandparents of the church, and while they're not on the eldership team currently, they are certainly mine and Camilla's spiritual parents. We sit weekly, we discuss weekly, and they're very important in this process of just praying these couples in. They also serve on the apostolic team, so it's great to have them here as well. But Ivar, I'm going to hand it back over to you.
Yeah, that's a good reminder that you have there. It is a full-time job, by the way, you know, but you don't get paid. So obviously they're having to work out there, and they've got family and all the dynamics. So I think it's a reminder for us to pray for them. We can't just pray for our elders now. There's an ongoing needing to just keep praying for them and get the balance of all that. They want their families to thrive in the midst of it all. And God supplies. So let me ask you these questions. You're giving your life away here for the time you're as an elder anyways. Let me ask you these questions. Do you, Mark and Dina, Lee and Janine, believe that you've been called by God to be part of the team that leads and cares for this flock?
Yes.
Yes, good. Will you submit to Andy and Camilla as the team leaders?
Yes.
Wonderful. I'll remind you of that. Will you serve the people of this congregation, laying your life down for them? Will you love them, always seeking for their good? Will you care for, admonish, correct, and encourage them in the fear of the Lord? It's all part of the deal, isn't it? Will you seek to honor the other ministries in this town and in other places? Amen. Good. Well, why don't you stand up? I've got a commitment for you to make. No use them making that. It's a two-way thing happening here. But let me ask you this question. Will you support, pray for, and obey these servants of God? Great. You're saying yes, God being our helper, giving us grace to do that. Will you seek to lighten their load by joyful responding to and submitting to them in the things of God? Yay! Everybody said amen. We will. The only way the church is going to work, you're going to be blessed. But we're going to lay hands on them right now and expect a good impartation here. Ask the elders to come around them. And let's see if God has something to say to them this morning. Thank you, Lord. I'm Jackie.
Yeah, and just invite your church to stay standing and reach out your hands. This isn't a spectator moment. This is all of us. Sure, the stage is only so big, but please pray.
Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I just pray an impartation as we lay hands on. It's one of the foundational principles in your word, Lord. And we expect now, as we lay hands on this couple, Lord, all that this translocal team, fivefold prophetic apostolic team, all that it represents, Lord, I pray would be imparted now as we lay hands here, Lord God. We expect an impartation in them. This would be light, Lord. This would be refreshing for them, Lord God, and for their families. We bless and release now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Brother, I just really feel, Lee, that we got together for lunch this last week. And the whole time, I just had this sense of a man in training. And I really believe God's been working things into you. I think now you're able to look back and go, wow, I didn't know what I was going through that for, but boy, I sure been able to use that. And I think as you go into leading as an elder, God's saying you're still in a place of training, and he's training for some things he has in the future, but he's also training you to be effective in the leading of this church with this team. And I know because of your heart of humility and your servant heart that God is going to anoint and release you to step into all that he has for you now. And we just thank you for it, Father. Just expect a release of that in this couple now, in this family, Lord God. You anoint them to get it right, Lord, all the challenges there are in being an elder, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, we pray for Mark and Dina. This is been a number of times doing this, but I just thank you that I'd never tired of laying hands on this couple. And we just know that whole picture of refreshing is just a picture of them. Thank you. They're not just called to teach. A tremendous teaching anointing on Mark, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the theological degree that he has. But I saw when I was praying for you just a picture of like two or three backboards just covered with equations and you know how they do it, scientific equations all working down. But on the last board in the corner, just all distilled down into one equation, so to speak. And, you know, like E equals MC squared. It's just all the rest of it has to be there. We need people to understand that, and it comes out the foundation of the truths that we believe. But I really felt, I was asking God, what is this about? I felt the Lord take me to 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5, where it says, our teaching came to you not just with many words, but it came to you with the Holy Spirit, with power and deep conviction. I just felt the anointing on that. I really believe God is going to release you to teach in a dimension you haven't before. Amen. You have the ability to distill it down where we live, where the common man is working and living. But I feel like there's going to be a greater impartation. I expect that in Mark, Lord God. I pray release in him, Father. Deep conviction will come upon people when he teaches, Lord God. Whether it's personal counseling or standing in the pulpit, Lord, you release your glory and grace through this man now. Thank you, Jesus. And I thank you for this couple, Lord, that they isn't just a teacher, they're shepherds, Lord. And together, Father, they just have such an ability to minister God's love to people. You just amp it up, Lord. Amp it up in their lives now. Teaching and loving and releasing people, Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, just the scripture I had on my mind for both of you guys was, just kept coming back. I've been in it recently, but Jeremiah 3, 15, where the Lord says, I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Mm-hmm. And that the reason you guys are here, the reason why God has called you to this position is because you are becoming shepherds after his heart. And it's not our good hearts that we shepherd towards the people. It's we look for his heart amongst the people. When Jesus walked the earth, he looked for what the Father was doing, and he did that. And in the same vein, we look to what he is doing. So, Lord God, we just thank you for these two. Yeah. Lord, we pray that you would enlarge their understanding. Yes, we pray, Lord, that you would enlarge their hearts, Lord God.
Yes,
even what their heart was yesterday to what it is today, Lord God. We just pray that you would break their hearts towards the people, Lord God. Yes. Would they see these sheep like you see them, Lord God? Would they hear your voice, Lord Jesus, on their behalf, Lord God, when people people come to them to seek good counsel, advice. Lord, would you lay upon them the spiritual gifts, Lord God, the gifts that they have, as I've been praying, Lord, just to a greater measure, Lord Jesus, to serve your people, not to hold it over them, but to lovingly serve your people and to lead your flock on your behalf. We thank you, Jesus, for these two. Enlarge their hearts in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Wes has got one thing. Wes always has the one thing anointing, so here you go. That's why he's on team.
I was just thinking about the story in Mark 10 after Jesus encounters the rich young ruler, and the disciples are distraught about where it leaves them. And Peter says to Jesus, he says, see, we have left everything and followed you. You know, what does this count for kind of thing? And Jesus just reminds him, he says, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. I just feel like God is just saying, I've got you. I've got you guys. You know? I feel like for you, Mark, I texted Andy this similar to what Ivor just said, but I just feel like God is going to open a window for you with everything you know, and he's going to make it, like, palatable for everyone. I feel like this team is not making space for you guys. There were spaces already for you guys, and that God is going to take your gift to bring something new to the team, you know? And I just feel like for you, Lee, I just feel like God says, like, you're going to be a bridge. I don't have a lot more than that. I just feel like you're going to be a bridge, you know? And, yeah. And, Mark, there's something, I feel like this time is different, and I could just say that, but I feel like this time is different. I keep thinking about Jethro. How he came and visited Moses, and Moses had done all these mighty exploits, seeing the Israelites come through all these things. But he just could see things so quickly. He said, what's happening here is not good. You know what I mean? And he could see it very quickly. But I also want to say, Andy, I just feel like God is wanting to say, I've found a man after my own heart. He will do what I say. And what gave Jethro's advice power was the humility of Moses. God is saying, it's your humility that's going to give you the power to lead. Not you being the greatest, but you seeing the greatness in others.
Well, awesome. I'm sure that there's people here that have encouragements or have, you know, that's, again, it's not just the elders in the church who hear from God. It's us as a body of believers. We do have leadership, but God does not limit his voice to the people up on this stage. So if you have a word, an edifying word for one of the new couples here or some other members of the team, please share it. Maybe there's a scripture that's been on your mind as you've been praying. Please share it with them. It is so encouraging when we hear from you. Even this morning, someone was telling me something I just knew was from God. And thank you so much. Let's give these guys a huge round of applause. And let's thank God for what he is doing in our midst. That's awesome. Awesome. So, yeah, please take your seats. Thank you so much. Team, you can step down. Awesome. Yeah, just one more thing before we close the service and have some good family time together. Just want to recognize this amazing couple, Nathan and Megan. in our community. Me, ourselves, we came onto team at the same time, on the same day. I can't remember the year, so I asked Nathan what year we became elders, and it was 2015, which is like about 8 years ago now, over 8 years that we've been serving the church on team together with the other guys. And we actually came to Oceanside at, like, you came the week before, and we came the week after, and then these guys invited us to the Connect group that they had found. The first week that we came to church, these were the first people that we met. And it's been so cool to step onto the team today. As Ivor has taught, we've just been sharing that, you know, and as we see through the amazing work that Mark and Dina have done in our community, that eldership is an office. It's a season that we serve in, just like you have a job or an office and things like that. And we've been probably, you know, talking around this season for probably about 6 months or so, and just trying to find the right season. And at this time, these guys are going to be stepping off of the eldership team. And we as a church just want to recognize on this day, we're so thrilled to be bringing on more, and we are thrilled to celebrate this amazing couple for what they have done. Yeah. Seriously, you guys don't know, and even they don't know, the security that just is on for me and Camilla to know that these guys are there holding the backs of the team, preaching amazing messages, leading people, many people on an individual basis and a group basis, and just stewarding people towards the heart of the Father. You guys have a massive, massive call on your life, and we've been proud to experience 8 years of that, and we can't wait to hear what God is doing next. I'm going to let these guys share a little bit, and this is a really difficult thing. It is not easy. They have not found it this an easy decision to make, and we just want to thank them for seeing us through the last year of transition, for seeing us through COVID, and blessing the church for the last 8 years in so many different ways. But yeah, Nathan.
Yeah, it's kind of a mixed emotions. Yeah, there we go. Mixed emotions for sure, but process that we've been talking through for a while, and as you know, many of the eldership have been running at quite a pace for the last while with, because Megan was pregnant with Maddie just before we came on, and so we've three kids in that short amount of time, and Megan as well working, and myself at school. Here, a teacher that's kind of not that 9-to-5 kind of job, and want a time to recharge, to refocus, and really focus on our personal relationship with Jesus, to put Him first. And so, yeah, that's kind of the time that we want to focus on, just putting Him first.
That's awesome. Yeah. Church, let's stand again and pray for this amazing couple. Seriously, again, because it's a large church, you won't have all been able to sit with these guys or do a coffee or be in their Connect group or anything like that. But the reason we have a church here today, the reason why we, you know, all of this stuff is because of these guys. Each one of us bring different skill sets, different gifting, and even we can go through one meeting where one of the team members is missing, and we notice it that person is missing. So we are going to dearly miss you, Nathan, on the team, but not in the church. And I just want to say for you guys, if you need a couple in your life that you need to ask advice for, this is a couple who has run hard after Jesus, who have laid their lives down, who will give you sound and good advice that points you towards the love of the Father. They've certainly done that in our lives and kept our eldership team on track through many things. I think just especially over COVID, Nathan, how you just brought insight and wisdom into the team, resetting our vision onto what's most important and what is really necessary. And I just really appreciate that. And he teaches many of your children as well, so definitely pray for him. Yes. But let's just thank God and pray for this amazing couple. Lord God, We thank you for Nathan and Megan. We thank you for their three amazing kids and the rest of their extended family, Lord God. We just look upon these 8 years, Lord God, and we just lift them up to you as they have laid down their lives as sacrificial love offering to you, Lord God. Lord, we pray in this next season that you would not hold back. Lord, that you would speak quickly, Lord God, that you would fill their ears with words of encouragement directly from you, the Father above, Lord God. I pray that scripture would leap off the page, Lord Jesus. I pray for just a blessing on their children and their kids' relationship with you as well, Lord God. Lord, we just pray for a season of fruitfulness, Lord Jesus. And we know that we're just going to be hearing amazing things from this couple that deeply, deeply loves you into the future. And we thank you for that inheritance. We thank you for what they have given this church and given directly to you, Lord God. They don't know the different names and the different situations that you have worked through them. Only when they see you face to face will they start to realize what you did to bring around through this obedient couple, Lord God. So we just thank you for them. We thank you for your holy name. I thank you for them personally for what they've done in our lives. And we just celebrate your glory through them, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Let's give them a round of applause and thank them. Yeah. Awesome, church. So we're going to have some worship at the end, but it's 11:15. And the kids, there's lots of them. So rescue the teachers, please. Some of your kids are very badly behaved. No, just kidding. No, some of them are. But kidding. If you're new to the life of Oceanside, please, please introduce yourself or come to a table and say hi. And if you've been here 3 weeks, guess what? You're no longer new. Go say hi to someone and introduce yourselves. We're a family that's on a mission who love Jesus. If you need prayer for anything this morning, if there's a situation in your life, we would love to have you up the front to pray for you as well. There's always opportunity for that. But otherwise, be blessed, and we'll see you again soon.